Okay, our next speaker is Peter Homiak, and he'll be giving a talk entitled Soil Phosphorus Dynamics in the Sierra Nevada, Exploring the Connection Between Soils and Eutrophication of High Elevation Lakes.
Hi, thanks all for being here today. Today I want to talk about the potential for soils to contribute to these kind of loosely called mild eutrophication events that we're seeing in high elevation lakes of the Sierra Nevada, and perhaps try to tie up changes in climate as a potential mechanism to mobilize phosphorus from soils to aquatic ecosystems. So we know that phosphorus is an essential nutrient. It often limits ecosystem productivity, and it's probably due to, at first, it's available in low quantities, and it's also, it has very low solubility. It also has really pretty high stability, and so we know that phosphorus can readily bind to aluminum and form stable complexes that effectively inactivate phosphorus from ecosystem processes. However, it is problematic when it's available in excess. And so in the Sierra Nevada, we have monitored, or not we, but my advisor has monitored, changes in trophic conditions in high elevation lakes. And so we have ratios of nitrogen to phosphorus in the y-axis, and we have measured these changes over time. And we started with aquatic ecosystems that were phosphorus limited and have gradually shifted and perhaps are becoming nitrogen limited. Now, because inputs of nitrogen to these systems have been relatively constant, it is presumed that it's an increase in phosphorus that are driving these changes. In fact, these changes are seen in terms of increases in particulate carbon in aquatic ecosystems, and we see that over time, particulate carbon has been increasing. And so the problem here is that we currently don't understand what is the major source of phosphorus to these remote systems. And so it could be a combination of things or maybe just one of these sources. Some of the hypothesized sources are just increase of atmospheric deposition of particles that have phosphorus bound to them, or perhaps just internal cycling of phosphorus in lake sediments, or what I want to talk about, which is changes in the cycling of phosphorus in soils. This is relevant to aquatic ecosystems in the Sierra Nevada because they're oligotrophic systems, and so small changes in nutrient supply can actually result in large-scale ecological effects. And so my purpose is to study or to explain to you how phosphorus cycling appears to work in these ecosystems and understand how changes in climate and hydrology may potentially mobilize phosphorus to these aquatic environments. And so I want to address questions such as what are the dominant forms of phosphorus in soil, how do phosphorus pools change seasonally, and what role do soil microbes play in phosphorus cycling in these soils. So my study site is Emerald Lake Watershed. It's in the western slope of the Sierra Nevada in Sequoia National Park. It's located about 9,000 feet in elevation. It's considered a subalpine site. The paramaterial is granite. And it exhibits a typical Mediterranean climate where you have warm, dry summers and cold, wet winters, of which snow is the major form of precipitation. Soils in this watershed are poorly developed, are acidic, have a CN ratio of about 17. The particle size distribution is dominated by sand. Cation exchange capacity is about 10 milliequivalents per 100 grams of soil. Bulk density is 1.3 megagrams per meter cube. The vegetation is sparse. You can have some isolated stands of pine, but it's mostly dominated by willow and grasses. And the important clay minerals include vermiculite, kaolinite, and gibbsite. In terms of methods, I used a simple approach, digging soil pits over time, winter, spring, summer, and fall, and then use a sequential fractionation procedure to follow these phosphorus dynamics, and then a chloroform fumigation treatment to try to follow microbial processes that control phosphorus. So I wanted to start by showing you the composition of iron, aluminum, and calcium in these soils. And so we have A horizons on the top, B horizons on the bottom. And we come to realize that these systems are aluminum dominated. And so there's a good potential for phosphorus to be deactivated and perhaps perhaps not be sensitive to changes in climate or hydrology. However, we do have iron and we do have calcium, and any phosphorus associated with iron can be susceptible to redox in, conditions, and then any phosphorus associated with calcium can potentially be destabilized or mobilized through acidification processes. In terms of the sequential extraction, I first wanted to summarize showing you this figure, in which I want to point out that biological processes are actually quite important in these soils. And in B horizons, they can account for about 50% of the total phosphorus, or 60% in A horizons. And then I wanted to point out that in A horizons, we have more phosphorus, about 800 parts per million to 1,000. And then in B horizons, we have less phosphorus. Now, if I want to break apart the sequential fractionation procedure and show you all the different pools, we come to realize that the most important pools are, not surprisingly, related to the sodium hydroxide extraction, which will get the inorganic phosphorus that is attached to aluminum. And then we'll also get this huge pool, which is the most significant one, this white box, which is which was believed to be organic phosphorus and recalcitrant pools, such as like humic acids. And again, this pool accounts for about 60% of the total phosphorus. Then we have this other pool, which is the sodium bicarbonate pool, which tries to get to that more labile, perhaps more easily destabilized by changes in climate or hydrology. And so we have 10 to 15% of the total phosphorus in that pool, and it will be potentially associated with just simple adsorption to soil surfaces or attached to iron that may be susceptible to redox. In terms of the organic pool, we have low molecular weight organics that compose most of that pool. And so the question becomes, well, what is 800 to 1,000 milligrams per kilogram of phosphorus? And the way I want to frame this is to look at it in terms of perhaps phosphorus saturation, if you may want to use that term. So do these soils have so much phosphorus in them that they will not absorb additions of phosphorus, or are they so low in phosphorus that they will be wanting to sequester any more phosphorus that perhaps is moves down through the soil solution as it perhaps moves through aquatic ecosystems? So we conducted these adsorption experiments, and we come to realize that, in fact, A horizons have a maximum adsorption capacity at about 1,000 milligrams per kilogram, and B horizons at about 1,200. So this seems to suggest that these soils are, you know, kind of reaching that level in which they will perhaps no longer absorb more phosphorus, although these experiments are more qualitative rather than quantitative. Perhaps more importantly is if we look at the pools that absorb additions of phosphorus, and we come to realize that if we add phosphorus to these soils, most of the phosphorus gets sequestered in these labile pools. So we go from this control to a larger amount of phosphorus going into the water extractable and the bicarbonate extractable pools. And so that has implications for phosphorus transport, because if we think that phosphorus is being desorbed from soils, moving down through the soil solution, and then perhaps attaching to other surfaces in the soil, well, those same phosphorus that was mobilized and absorbed, it can potentially be easily desorbed once again and continue to travel through the soil profile. Now, in terms of biology, I did mention that, you know, most of this watershed was dominated by biological processes. So what is the role of soil microbes? And I guess I started by hypothesizing that given the seasonal pattern of the Sierra Nevada, that during spring and summer, where you would have warmer temperatures and plenty of moisture left over from spring snowmelt, that you would have the highest microbial activity. However, if we look at this figure, it seems to suggest that most of the microbial biomass is, in fact, found during winter, which is a little bit counterintuitive. But if you think about the large amount of snow that covers these soils during winter, which is about 4 to 5 meters of snow, you realize that the soils are pretty well insulated, and they actually provide hospitable environments for microbes to grow and actually immobilize phosphorus. If we look at inorganic phosphorus changes over time, and we look at how they shift from winter through fall, we kind of see that same pattern, which is highest concentrations occur during winter, and then they decrease over time through fall. And so the highest accumulates in winter, and then most likely spring snowmelt and hydrologic flushing acts as a way to move phosphorus concentrations through the soil solution over time. However, if we look at organic phosphorus pools, we kind of see the inverse of it, which is they are lowest in the winter but increase over time. And we see that again in the sodium hydroxide pool. And so I guess I'll go out on a limb here and say that perhaps we're seeing a sync of biological processes kind of working together. During the wintertime, microbial activity sequesters and tightly holds on to that phosphorus to give way to plants when they come back from plant senescence during the wintertime. And so we have this tight-knit biological process hanging on to most of the phosphorus that perhaps otherwise could become available to be leached out from soils. To summarize, I would like to say that substantial pools of phosphorus can be found in soils and high elevation ecosystems, and that about 10% of it is potentially susceptible to climate destabilization. More importantly, these soils appear to have appear to be close to the maximum capacity to absorb phosphorus, and that any phosphorus that is absorbed is potentially retained in these labile pools, which will further promote their, the transfer of phosphorus from soils to aquatic ecosystems. Winter appears to be a very important time period in which biological cycling of phosphorus takes place. And if we think about climate change predictions, which is supposed to lessen the amount of snow in Sierra Nevada ecosystems and increase rain, we can perhaps think of increase of freeze-thaw processes that can disrupt soil aggregates, also disrupt this potential immobilization period of phosphorus, and result in the potential transport of phosphorus to high elevation ecosystems. And so with that, I would like to acknowledge people in my lab, undergraduate students who helped a lot with sequential extractions and funding sources. And I'll take questions with that. Yes. Perhaps I don't understand it. So,
but you said that these soils are almost saturated with phosphorus.
Well, right. So the natural amount of, we can ballpark the amount of phosphorus in the soils to be about 800 to 1,000 milligrams per kilogram. And so
total phosphorus.
Right. And so if I start to add phosphorus to those soils, there seems to be an absorption maximum at about 1,000 to 1,200. Now that phosphorus is going into those labile pools. I mean, none of this phosphorus is being attached to those recalcitrant pools. But in terms of those high-energy sites where phosphorus can bind, that seems to be saturated at about 1,200 or 1,000. True. Yes, so a better comparison will be to remove those organic pools from there and just compare it to the inorganic. Good point. Thank you. Yes?
On your conclusion slide, you said 10% of the phosphorus consumption
of climate change. If we look at this slide, it seems that this sodium bicarbonate pool would be that pool that would be sensitive to changes in redox if we consider that, let's hypothesize that through climate change we'll have more rain, and so maybe we'll have some periods in which the soils will remain wetter for longer times. And so if we think that as potentially affecting redox processes, this 10 or 15% of that phosphorus may be sensitive to that condition and may potentially liberate phosphorus that is bound to iron.